think within the African-American community, what is happening is more generational, actually, than it is racial. The truth is we are doing quite well with younger people, whether they're white, they're black, they're Latino. We're doing fairly poorly, and I got to work on this, with older people, whether they're white, black, or Latino. But we think we are making progress, and the reason we're making progress is we have a very strong position on criminal justice and ending the absurdity of having more people in jail than any other country on earth. And we think our economic message of raising the minimum wage to $15 an hour, creating millions of jobs, rebuilding our broken infrastructure, our collapsing infrastructure, pay equity for women, changing our trade policies, that is increasingly resonating all over this country.
I'm wondering if you're seeing that as actually penetrating some of these communities, especially, you know, as you turn toward Illinois and Chicago for the March 15th primary.
Well, I think it is. I mean, I think you look at the polling, is we're behind in the African-American community. But I think there is no question our numbers are going up. We have a lot of prominent supporters in the African-American community who know my record. So I think we are gaining on it. And I think our message of the need to bring people together to take on the 1% and create an economy that works for all, and the need to reform a very broken criminal justice system and the major police reform so we do not continue to see unarmed African-Americans shot by police officers. I think that message is resonating.
I want to turn a little bit, and voters in Illinois have seen where a divide between Republicans and Democrats in a very real way, and what's going on in Illinois state government, and there's this big impasse affecting state government right now. And having seen that, I'm wondering if there's cause for concern about what's happening here in Illinois becoming an example in Washington, D.C., if a Sanders presidency occurs with a Republican-controlled Congress.
Well, let me say this. Number one, if we can win this nomination, I am pretty confident we're going to win the White House, because almost all of the polls that are out there have us pretty far ahead of Mr. Trump. I'm here in Michigan right now. We'll be in Illinois soon enough. But I think I would respond to your question in two ways. Number one, I have throughout my political career worked with Republicans when there are common grounds. For example, I worked with John McCain to pass the most comprehensive veterans legislation for veterans' health care that's been passed in many, many decades. Here is the second point that I'd make, even more importantly. Bottom line here, in terms of Congress, is not so much that Congress is dysfunctional. It is dysfunctional. But the more important point is that Congress is way out of touch with where the American people are. And the only way we rebuild the crumbling middle class in this country, the only way we deal with the grotesque level of income and wealth inequality, the only way we deal with climate change, the only way we deal with a broken criminal justice system is when Congress begins to listen to the American people rather than to their wealthy campaign contributors. And that is why, among other things, I'm going to fight to overturn this disastrous Citizens United Supreme Court decision. But to answer your question, the way that change in America, whether it's women's rights, civil rights, gay rights, workers' rights, the way the change always comes about, it's not from the top on down. It's from the bottom on up. It's when millions of people demand change. And in this campaign, you are seeing millions of people say, you know what, this government of ours had better start representing all of us, not just wealthy campaign contributors. That's what this campaign is about. And if we pull that off, you can bet that Congress will start listening to the American people.